Next presentation keeps us in Canada, but we change species, right? So I'll leave it up to you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Laurel Parrott. I'm Dr. Sherry Stridehorst, her master's student, and Dr. Linda Hall's master's student at the University of Alberta. And today I'm going to touch on protein and nitrogen yield response of feed barley to post-emergence or in-season nitrogen in Alberta. So common production practice for barley in Alberta is to meet the nitrogen yields at planting time. So the majority of farmers are not applying nitrogen in season. So this is a new practice. So much of the research in barley in Alberta centers around malt barley. Malt is worth more money to the grower. Feed barley is sometimes thought of the poor cousin of malt barley. So much of the acres are planted to malt and they may not grade malt and they're sold as feed. But unfortunately, feed barley agronomic management does not equal agronomic management of malt barley. And this is because opposite to malt barley, high protein content increases feed barley quality. So I think the work needs to be done on feed barley to make sure that we're maximizing yields. So grain nitrogen yield is a product of grain yield times nitrogen content. So it is related to protein. And we think that possibly the grain nitrogen yield may be improved through post-emergence or in-season nitrogen application just before BDCH 30. And its effect on protein is also of interest. So initially, we are certainly targeting a yield increase, a grain yield increase at BDCH 30, but for the quality parameters, we are also interested in the grain nitrogen yield in kilograms per hectare and the protein response. So our study, the slide probably looks a little bit familiar from Dr. Stridehorst's presentation. It's a three-year study with five sites, ranging from our northern site in the Peace Country to central Alberta sites, Bonacord and Killam, and two Lethbridge sites in southern Alberta, one irrigated and one dry land. Experimental design was a strip plot with a horizontal strip being our post-emergence nitrogen. So there are four levels of that, three of which I'll present today. And our vertical strip were combinations of seeding rate, plant growth regulator, and foliar fungicide. So that's 16 levels with a total treatment number of 64. So it's a large trial that we had going. Analysis was done using PROC mixed and SAS, and we considered site year random effect. And we used linear and quadratic contrast to determine the response of protein and grain nitrogen yield to increasing levels of in-season nitrogen. And because there was an absence of interactions between the horizontal strip and the vertical strip, the results I present to you today for grain protein and grain nitrogen yield will be averaged across the seeding rate, PGR, and fungicide combinations. So there was no interaction there, so we can do that. So the standard management applied to all treatments was that we direct seeded into canola stubble, so that's zero tillage, hugely adopted in Alberta. So in keeping with that, we direct seeded into canola stubble, and depending on location, the row spacing was 0.2 to 0.25 meters. And our nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and sulfur fertilizer needs were met at seeding according to soil tests, but also to meet the area average yield goal. So the way we achieved that or decided what the area average yield goal was we looked at our land cooperators' 10-year average feed barley yield on their own farm, and we targeted that yield goal. So this certainly isn't looking at split nitrogen rates. We applied sufficient nitrogen in spring, and we're adding additional in season. And we also, of course, use herbicides for weed control and glyphosate for dry down at harvest. So the treatment structure, our post-emergence nitrogen was applied as liquid UAN, so it's 2800 analysis. And the three levels that we're looking at was a control of zero kilograms per hectare, and then we had a 34 kg rate and a 68 kg rate. We also tested a 34 plus agrotain, which I won't be presenting today. And the application timing was just prior to BVCH 30, and that's prior to stem elongation. And then below at the bottom, you can see all of the levels that we are averaging across our plant growth regulator, foliar fungicide, and two seeding rates. So what does BDCH 30 look like? We applied just prior to BDCH 30, which is the time of maximum crop uptake for yield. And what it looks like is that the internodes and the inflorescences are still clustered at the base of the stem, which you can see here. So there's no elongation yet. It's in Alberta that's around the four-leaf stage. And we're, again, targeting just prior to this growth stage. So our site year information. Typical to Alberta, we have late April and early May seeding dates and late August to early September harvest dates. And as you can see across the five locations, we had quite a range in average site protein from a low of 9.8% protein all the way up to a high of 14.9% grain protein. And the same story for the average nitrogen yield in the grain, a low of 98 kilograms per hectare and a high of 172 kg per hectare harvested in the grain. What I want to draw your attention to the soil nitrate in the top 30 centimeters and the nitrogen applied at seeding. And because we had different yield goals across the site years, there is quite a range in that available N that the crop had. So from a low of 99 kilograms per hectare all the way up to 173, or 201 in fact, so almost double. And our precipitation ranged as well. So Falher 101 millimeters in 2014, that's about 4 inches, all the way up to our irrigated site in 2014 with 426 millimeters or 16 inches of rain. So huge environmental variations. So let's look at the grain nitrogen yield results. Response to post-emergence nitrogen was highly significant and the relationship was linear. And we did not see, despite those drastic environmental differences, there was no significant interaction between environment and post-emergence nitrogen. So the response trend was the same. So the linear relationship was increasing. So grain nitrogen yield increased with increasing rates of post-emergence nitrogen. And you can see at our control, we harvested on average across all site years 120 kg per hectare nitrogen. And then when we went up to the 34 kg rate, we saw a 4.7% increase. And then at the 68% kg rate, we saw a 7.4% increase compared to the control. And again, this linear trend of increase was consistent across site years. Now looking at grain protein, again, it was the response was highly significant to post-emergence nitrogen application, and the relationship again was linear. However, we did see this environmental by post-emergence nitrogen interaction. So that means not all sites were responding in the same way to the addition of nitrogen in season. So looking at this graph, this is the trend over all site years. I won't break down the interaction yet. But across all 10 site years, we did see a trend of linear increase. So with the control, we're seeing an average of 11.6% protein. When we added 34 kg, we're seeing 2.8% protein increase. And at the 68 kg rate, we're seeing a 4.1% increase in protein compared to the control. So that brought us up to about 12.1% protein. So what is causing this environment by post-emergence nitrogen interaction? Not all sites are responding this way when we're adding nitrogen. So I'm going to look at some individual site year analysis to break that apart in the next slide. So to explain this interaction, I want to draw your attention to the bottom axis, which are 10 site years, and then to the blue bars, which is precipitation at each site. The green bars are our soil nitrate in the top 30 centimeters plus the nitrogen fertilizer applied at seeding. So at the three site years with the highest precipitation, these are the three site years that had no response to nitrogen. So the protein didn't increase when we added more nitrogen at these three sites. So this occurred where precipitation was high and when soil nitrate was relatively low. So this is kind of showing the inverse relationship between yield and protein. When precipitation is high, yield potential is higher, and the nitrogen requirements for yield are going to be met before the protein requirements are. So I think that's what we're seeing here. Interestingly, at the site with 426 millimeters of precipitation, so that's our irrigated site in 2014, there is actually a trend of linear protein decrease with a p-value of 0.06. So it actually caused protein decrease as we added more nitrogen at that BDCH 30. So in conclusion, the linear responses that we saw indicate that nitrogen yield, grain nitrogen yield, and protein weren't maximized between the 0 and 68 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare rates. But we can increase feed barley quality in terms of protein when we apply this nitrogen at BDCH 30. Now, farmers in Alberta aren't paid based on protein in their feed barley. It's not the same system as hard red spring wheat. So perhaps if you were growing barley on farm for yourself, this would be something you may want to look at. But when we're looking at the economics, protein doesn't factor in the market. So we're seeing that we can increase protein unless precipitation is very high. So when precipitation is very high and if the nitrogen in the springtime is maybe not adequate, then the protein will either remain unchanged or it will trend downwards, and that could have negative quality implications. So a grower under irrigation in Lethbridge in the southern Alberta irrigation districts, if they're targeting high protein, they may not want to apply nitrogen in season. So I'd like to thank the financial support and in-kind support for this project. It's part of a larger cluster of projects that are looking at wheat, barley, and pea advanced agronomic management practices. And thank you for your time, and I'd like to invite any questions. So the question, why does protein trend downward at the Lethbridge site with the high precipitation when we add nitrogen? I think it's because the rainfall was so high there. When rainfall is higher, yield potential is higher, and the nitrogen requirements for yield will be met before the protein. So that nitrogen is going towards yield, and the protein won't be met until yield is maximized. Once yield is maximized, then the grain will start filling its protein. And so at that site, we would have needed more nitrogen to bring that protein up with the yield. Good question.
No? Like,